If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2, if you have your Bibles there, if you just keep on flipping past Deuteronomy and Joshua and you find Samuel, keep going. If you go to Chronicles, you go backwards. All right, situated right in there between Samuel and Chronicles. We're going to be there at 2 Kings, and we'll be there at chapter number 2 here in just a minute. We had a wonderful, wonderful service this morning at the Potter's House. We go there once every 2 months and are able to preach there in the chapel, and had just a room full of men there. And I know, at least from what we heard just by testimony, I think at least 4 trusted Christ as their Savior. And just thank God for the ministry there, the liberty. The men came, they were just engaged. They were worshiping and they were attentive to the Word of God. And we're just so grateful for that ministry. Looking forward to the men being able to come to our church soon. We're still working through those logistics and just trusting God to work all the details out there. But trust everybody's had a good week this past week. Trust the Lord's meeting your needs. And I'm just thankful to see you here this morning. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for coming to church. Some of you may have come, you just didn't really want to, but you came anyway. Amen. You might have been drugged here. I don't know, but I'm thankful you're here. It's like Marianne told me the other day. I'm thinking about trying to run a little more, okay? I'm just thinking about it, okay? I did this whole 5K thing, and now I think I can run a marathon, but that's a big mistake, okay? I know that. But I was talking to her. We were just out walking the other day, and I got her, we're holding hands. I said, honey, Daddy's thinking about trying to run a little bit. You think it's something you might like to do? And running with me, and she thought for a second. She said, well, Daddy, if it's okay with my legs, I will. If my legs tell me it's okay. Well, I'm glad your legs told you it was okay to come to church this morning. Amen. And I'm glad you came, and thank the Lord for you. We're there in 2 Kings chapter number 2, continuing our series on the life of Elisha. The life of Elisha. You'll find your place there in chapter 2 at verse number 23. Chapter 2, verse number 23. We are coming up on, again, as he is beginning his ministry, he is taking the torch, if you will, of the ministry of Elijah. And he has already seen God do miracles through his life, and the parting of the Jordan there, and the purifying of the water in the city of Jericho. And now we're going to see God's miraculous power once again through his life. But 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria." Now, studying for this passage and hearing of this story, I can tell you one thing, that it's not the context, okay? I know it's not the context, but still, the more I study this passage, the more I am scared of picking on bald people, okay? I know that's not the context, but I understand that. But still, there's just something when you read that, you stay away from it. But we do know there is very much a seriousness about this passage that we're going to learn. But many folks have misinterpreted this passage of Scripture. they have abused this passage of Scripture. And with the Lord's help, I truly do want to share some things that I believe is a true and accurate interpretation and try to bring in some application for us today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask you to help me this morning. I can do nothing without you and the power of your Spirit. My goal today is to bring attention to your word and bring attention to your will. And Lord, I'm praying that you would meet needs today, that you would help us, strengthen us, encourage us, guide us, correct us. Lord God, just bring us closer to yourself. Lord, we love you so much because you first loved us. And I do pray you would get glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to preach a message to you titled, "The Bethel Bullies Learn a Lesson." The Bethel Bullies Learn a Lesson. No one likes a bully. Bullies can be, quite frankly, can be cruel. And no one likes a bully. And by the way, God doesn't like bullies. But we see here that we have a group of bullies from this city of Bethel. I read an article. I actually remember seeing it back when it was first reported, I believe in 2011, where over in Australia there was this account and it just went viral, even on the nightly news channels, that there was a situation where a young boy and a school was being bullied, and it was something that had been continuous and had come to a breaking point. And the way this thing came to an end, it surprised the bully. The video shows the bully punching this young man who happened to be, he was overweight, he punched him in the head at first, punched him in the face, and the boy's just sitting there with his book bag, and you could tell this young man was trying to really hurt him and harm him, and then he punched him in the gut and was wanting to come back for more, and then all of a sudden, it was just like the young man had had enough, and this young man grabbed the bully, picked him up, okay? Picked him up. He looked like, anybody know what those little float noodles look like that you take to the pool or the lake? They just kind of wiggle around, you know? This bully looked like a noodle, okay? And this young man picked him up and dropped him on the ground with some force. And the little boy, his young man got up, and all you could see was him limping, and he was limping the opposite direction of this young man he was bullying. Amen? He had learned a lesson. I'm not suggesting to you that you should pick up and body slam bullies this morning. But what I am going to suggest to you is this young boy learned a lesson. He picked a fight with the wrong person. He was bullying the wrong person. He shouldn't have been bullying at all, but it came to, he denied it at first, but years later, he actually came forward and publicly and officially said, "You know what? I learned my lesson that day, and I apologize to that man, that young boy that I did bully." He had learned a lesson, and I want to tell you, this is what we have here. We have some bullies that are going to learn their lesson in the area of learning not to mock God. You see, here we have is a group of thugs that would learn the hard way that you don't mock God and get away with it. It just doesn't happen. And I believe God's got some things to teach us here. Now, let me remind you of a few things. Most of Elisha's ministry and miracles were acts of kindness, acts of compassion. Healing the waters, we just saw that. He'll do it again. Things that he, with the widow, and the things that he will contribute and give to those people in need. That's most of his ministry, in fact. But there are times that God will use him to confront wickedness with God's judgment. What was going on here that resulted in such a harsh judgment? Well, I'll tell you, evil was seeking to prevail against God. Evil was seeking to prevail against God. So that's what we have here. Now, what was going to happen is a true testimony of that God will not be mocked. evil was seeking to prevail against God, and through his servant Elisha was going to make a bold statement. What was this bold statement? It was this: your God is inferior to my God. Remember the context. We're in the northern kingdom. Okay? We're in the northern kingdom where idolatry was rampant. I'm going to try to turn this on and show you just a little map of where you could see where it was located. Let's see if it'll come up here. The area that they were, let's see, it's doing something, but it's just not going forward. You see that, Brother Sam? Is it doing what it's supposed to? We'll maybe look at it another time. But what it was in the northern kingdom is there was no such thing as a good king. There we go. So we see that Elisha's ministry was going to be in this area of Israel, okay? And Elijah's too. Well, where he is now, he's going from Jericho and he's going to go over here to Bethel. But you'll remember some things about this area. There was no good king at all, ever. There was only wicked kings and more wicked kings. And he is dealing with some of the most atrocious people that were on the face of the earth. And they hated God. They hated the true wise God. And that's where he is going into. And so there are some things that you need to note starting off. Number one, remember what started off here. Years ago, we'll read about this, before this time in our account, there was a man by the name of Jeroboam. What did this Jeroboam do? Well, when the kingdom split, Jeroboam would set up two cities that where they would worship the golden calf. Where were those two cities? Those two cities were in Dan, in the very northern part, and then the other was Bethel. That's where Elisha is going. These are major cities of idolatrous worship. It had gone over, now you fast forward many years later, and it had developed into Baal worship, the sacrifice of humans, especially infants, to the god of Baal. And it was rampant sexual immorality and those type of things. This is the city that he is getting ready to go into as a prophet of God and as a man of God. He's getting ready to face some evil. He's getting ready to be bullied, if you will. What are some ways and how can we apply that to our lives here 3,000 years later when we are going to be opposed by evil? When we are going to face opposition? When we are perhaps going to be mocked as Elisha was? How do we handle that? How do we prepare for that? And God help us if we're being a part of the mockery. But what can we do to prepare for something like this? Well, I think we need to look at the passage and learn some things. First of all, I believe we need to learn to expect it. Expect it. Very simply. It's going to come. Opposition from evil is going to try to hurt us and harm us and mock our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in your Bibles in verse number 23. It says here, in chapter 2, verse 23, first of all, and he went up from thence. He is Elisha. Thence was Jericho unto Bethel. Now, you'll remember, Bethel means the house of God. That was given that name many, many years ago by a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob would have that ladder experience where he would see the ladder, Jacob's ladder, and that was really a revival experience with Jacob. It was during that time that idolatry was confessed as sin and given over and surrendered to the Lord. And it had a very positive connotation to it, Bethel did. There was a renewed worship of the one true God. But now that has changed. That has changed. Hundreds of years later, we come to this point where, no, Bethel was not a place where the one true God is being worshiped. It was worshipped with the golden calf, and now it was to that place of Baal worship. And, you know, one of the things that Jeroboam did, why did he set that city up as being a place of worship? I'll tell you why. He didn't want the people going to Jerusalem to the true worship. That was the place that God had set up to be the true place of worship. So what does Jeroboam do? What evil does? He makes a counterfeit. and he makes a compromise. And he says, listen, y'all don't go down there. We're up here in our northern kingdom. We'll make our own God. We'll make the golden calf. And that's what they did. And it just progressed and became worse and worse over the years. And the people were antagonistic towards Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah. And Elisha was on his way, I believe, to preach against this ungodliness. He was going not into a friendly city. Now, I'm thankful when I go around the land, even here in Jackson County, and when I'm going wherever it may be, whether it's a visit or knock on the door, 99% of the time I am welcomed. With a greeting of some sort. But most of the time, that's what we expect around here. Where Elisha's going, there was no welcome party for him saying that we're glad to see you. In fact, it's actually the contrary of what he's going to have. He's going to have a welcome committee, all right. But it's going to be totally antagonistic. He, of course, would face this great opposition. Now, let me ask you this. When he's going into this city from Jericho, and he's going up to Bethel, do you think that he's feeling like the minority? Do you think that? I would say so. Even though there were most likely prophets there, from what we understand, that did worship the true God, but the great majority would be against Elisha and the work that he was doing. You better believe he felt that like the minority. Can I just tell you that? If you haven't figured that out already, don't let it discourage you. It's a part of God's plan. But if you're going to live for the Lord God, if you're going to live for Him and surrender your life completely to Him, can I tell you something? Expect to be lonely at times. Expect to be the minority, if you will. God is intended that way, and by the way, God is with you during that time. God brings comfort during that time, but just expect it. You're going to be the minority. And Elisha was indeed that. And so we see moving along here in his expectation. Look what it says. It says, and as he was going up by the way. Now this again, let's try to get the full context here. What is it talking about? Well, if you look at your Bible map and you use your scale of distance, it's about 20 to 30 miles, okay? That's a long walk, all right? I don't know anybody here that's walked that recently. But if you have, you would say, now that's a long walk, preacher. 20 to 30 miles, and here we have Elisha, he's walking that, but that's not all. Where is he walking from? I just thought this was interesting. He's walking from the city of Jericho. Well, what does that matter, preacher? Well, it just happens to be the lowest city in the world. The lowest elevation, Jericho, is 846 feet below sea level. So here he is walking from Jericho, and he's going to have a tough walk upward. It's going to be an altitude there of when he gets to where he's going, he's getting to Bethel. That happens to be 2,800 feet above sea level. So not only does he have a 20 to 30 mile hike, but it is uphill. And you better believe this man, this prophet, even though he was a great prophet of God, he was made of the same flesh as you and me. He had the same weaknesses as you and me. And when he got to this city, I guarantee you he was tired. I guarantee you he was worn out. This was a long day of hiking. Can I just make a quick note here? Many times, my friend, when evil attacks, when the bully comes, Satan, whoever Satan may be using, I want to tell you, many times it will come when we're tired. Maybe it's spiritually tired or weak. It might be physically tired and weak. But a lot of times, that's when the bully will come. He will try to exploit that weakness, and he will try to attack that weakness and try to bully us. And I believe that's exactly what we're going to see here. Elisha's tired, I believe, when he's getting ready to walk into this city of Bethel. But look what happens as he's entering the city there in your Bible, there verse 23. It says, there came forth little children out of the city, that's Bethel, and mocked him. All right, now, let's go ahead and clarify a couple things here. This has, again, been a very misinterpreted passage of Scripture. Unbelievers look at that and say, oh, how cruel. You mean that these bears came out and attacked little children? Well, not in the way we think of little children. let me explain that. In the King James here, we understand that it, little children is used as in other versions as well. But what little, the same word that's used for little children here is also used, forget it, Saul, when he was being anointed king of Israel. Same word. Also, Joseph, when he was 17 years old, same Hebrew word used for Joseph. I want to tell you here, when we talk about these little children, these were not little elementary kids. I believe that these were teenagers or older. I believe that they were of age to understand exactly what they were wanting to do, and they were wanting to cause harm to this prophet. Now, coming out of the city shows that this most likely was a planned confrontation. They knew that he was coming. Perhaps they got word. Again, not a huge distance to get news in just a couple days, but remember what Elisha had just done? He had healed the waters in Jericho. This city that had been plagued with contaminated water, man, he brought them fresh water. He healed those wells. He healed those springs. And you know what happened? That probably got word. Well, guess what? It probably got word too that Elisha was on his way to Bethel. And perhaps when upon that word, there was a war party formed. And they were going to confront him as he entered. And that's exactly what they did. You see, these little children were not tiny kids sticking their tongues out at Elisha as he was walking by. That was not what we have here. It was not for them sticking their hands out and making funny noises. No, that was not it at all. That's what the unbelievers would want you to think to try to take away the validation of the Word of God. But these were probably teenagers or older who were mocking Elisha. Most likely, news of Elijah's translation had taken place. You know, and as he was taken up in the chariot of fire, and Elisha's being ordained to continue the ministry of proclaiming the truth of Jehovah. And I want to tell you, this group of young thugs, they had one thing in mind. They had one mission, and that was to mock and silence the prophet of God. And so that's the account we have here. We need to expect evil to attack. And then it's just not confronting, but look how this goes, and it gives us even further clarity of what type of mockery this was. Look at the last part of 23. And said unto him, go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head. Now, we see a few things here. First of all, they mocked his looks. Can I just go ahead and say this on the record? I believe when some bully or whoever criticizes somebody's looks, I believe that is evil. Amen? It's evil. And kids these days think it's a game to get someone to, at someone else's expense, to pick on perhaps a deformity, a weakness. It just broke my heart. I read an article, a young boy, he was a premature birth, The young boy went to school, and because of the premature birth, there were some defects there, and one of it was his teeth. And his teeth had a yellow tint to them, and because of that, he got bullied almost every day. And he tried to overcome it. His mom tried to encourage him, but through a series of events, because those kids would pick on him, a deformity that he could not help, it was evil. The young boy would go home one day, and his mother would find him hanging from the ceiling fan. He'd hung himself. He'd hung himself because he was being bullied. Listen, that is satanic. And that's what was going on here. I believe they were attacking his looks. Now, whether he was bald for sure, we can assume because of that's what they're saying, but we don't know that for sure. It could just be derogatory because it was known for those with leprosy that they would shave their heads. So it very well could have been a connotation to the fact that they were calling him a leper. It very well could have had that connotation. But we see that his looks were mocked. And then they mocked his office. You need to understand that go up has significance. I personally believe that it's in reference to what Elijah did. Elijah went up, so now they're going to challenge him in his office. They're going to say, hey, go up! Go up, thou bald head! If you be the prophet, why don't you get on out of here and go up like your predecessor Elijah? Hey, listen, They were a mocking of his office, a belittling of him. But you know, ultimately what was going on here, church, as we look at this passage, these group of thugs were actually just not mocking Elisha. They were ultimately mocking God. That's what was going on. They were mocking God himself. These young rebels were a product, get this, of their God-hating, Baal-worshipping parents. You remember, think about the culture they were living in. Again, sexual orgies all the time, sacrificing babies all the time. This was the norm. The Jehovah God, no, we worship Baal. Can you imagine? And these kids are coming. They've been taught to hate the prophet and to ridicule him, mock him. But he's coming. And they've been trained and they have been taught to enjoy all those things. And so as here comes on the scene. Now imagine, imagine this prophet's coming. And here he comes, stepping on the scene. Who is this prophet? He's a sin-hating, truth-telling, God-loving, bold prophet. Hey, can I tell you something? I think you know this already. But the world does not want to hear a person like this prophet right here. The world. Now, I hope you do as a church. We know we have a relationship with Christ and we need to be reminded of these things. But you take someone who is without Christ and they will shun these things. Don't tell me that I have sin. And they didn't want Elisha coming into their city saying anything about their sin. And so they're going to confront him to ultimately try to kill him, I believe. You know, I was comforted by the fact that many times when we suffer persecution, child of God, you need to remember that Jesus said when people try to mock you and hurt you and ridicule you, please understand, children, they are not mocking you. They are not hating you. They're hating me. That's what Jesus said. He said, them that hate you, listen, they're really hating me. You're just letting me live through you, so therefore they're hating me. He said that in John 15:19. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So Elisha was hated by this group of young people that were going after him. He was despised. And so we see here, if we haven't learned one thing, we need to learn this for sure at the very beginning. We need to expect mockery when we live for God. Elisha expected it. But then, what else should we do? Well, we should respond to it. We should respond to it. Now, this again, where you have to be very careful, because there are Christians out there that actually teach that you should curse people. That's not true. That's unbiblical. I do not believe that we have any liberty as children of God to pronounce curses upon others. Now, I believe in the context of this passage, you remember, just like the apostolic gifts were given, they were to authenticate the gift of the prophet. And in this case, I believe too. Remember, the Word of God is not complete. Elisha has some authority that we don't have these days to give his office authority. And so he's going to pronounce a curse. But I want to see, first of all, he responds to it. Look there in verse 24. It says, and he turned back. Now, that's interesting to note, too, that these group of kids, these young people, had come up behind him. Thought about that too. I'm not suggesting here that I know all the reasons why, but I tell you what, evil will many times come up from behind. It will try to get you when you least expect it. It will try to sucker punch you. And I believe that this is what they're coming to do. They're coming to take over him. And what does Elisha do? He turns back. He looks at them. He recognizes them. And then what does the Word of God say? It says, and he looked on them. He cast his eyes upon them. At this point, it is my opinion, according to the context of this scripture, that at this point, Elisha thought his life was in danger. Thought his life was in danger of him losing his life. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that is a very scary place. I don't know if you have you ever got that feeling? I remember one time. I think the closest I came to it, was on an airplane. Okay. Now, those of you that don't like flying and you're thinking about it, I'm sorry. I'm probably going to ruin it for you. Okay. But I remember being on a plane and it was some bad weather. And I tell you what, it just got scary. You see when that stomach goes up to your chest and you just like, oh my word, is this plane about to crash? And there's a feeling there that you might be getting ready to die. I remember my dad told me that, they were making a landing over in California. He was going to some sort of event for his work. And he said when they were just about to land, he said all of a sudden the captain came over and said, to some degree it was a type of emergency, people, please hold on. And all he could hear is those jets go full blast. And he said the jet came up so quickly like that and they were taking off. They were about to collide with another jet on the runway. He said, my dad said, I just thought it was over right then. It's a terrible feeling. And I believe in Elisha's heart, he's seeing these group of rebels. We know at least 42 of them, but we believe there are more because it says out of them, 42 were mauled. I'll get to that. But a huge group making progress on him. Elisha, the prophet, is fearing for his life. So what does he do? We see how he responds. Look at verse 24b. How does he respond? It said here, and he turned back, and after he looked on them, he cursed them. Now get this, in the name of the Lord. That's very important. Very important. Why is that very important? Because this curse was not, get it, it was not out of unrighteous anger. It was not out of pride, like, I'll show you. You don't mess with me. No, I believe he gave this curse in the name of the Lord. And by the way, we need to note this. It's very important. This curse, it really stood for the curse of God against the anti-God spirit in Bethel. That's what it ultimately would come to. Leon Wood said that. It would ultimately lead to that. But you need to know, we don't know what the curse was. We just know that what Elisha said, he looked at these bunch of rebels that were about to take his life, apparently, and he said, cursed be you in the name of the Lord. What does that mean, church? I believe he was putting it in God's hands. He didn't call for two she-bears. He didn't call for a certain type of weapon. You know, I don't think Elisha had like guard bears travel with him all over Northern Kingdom. And maybe that'd be kind of cool if he did. But I just think that Elisha looked at this situation and he put it in God's hands. He says, God, these rebels, they're about to kill me and I'm here to do your work. Cursed are they in the name of the Lord. And God did handle it. And as he would say that, what took place? There in your Bible it says, and there came forth two she-bears out of the wood. We see that God's judgment comes in many types of packages. And this one happens to be sending two very angry and mad mama bears. And they were not going to be merciful, I guarantee you, because of what it says here in the passage. As they would come forth. And I have a picture here that I wanted to show just the wilderness, the way it would look in the wilderness. As Elisha was traveling to Bethel, this would be the pathway he would be taking. And he would come to a place of wilderness that would look a lot perhaps like this. A wooded area, and they did have wild animals such as lion and bears because we know of context in the Old Testament. And he would have been walking, and out of these woods would have come these mama bears. And what does the Word of God say here? It says, and tear 42 children of them. Again, that word children is used for grown people, teenagers and older. Again, let's make sure we're clear on that. It says they tear them. What does that mean? You know, that same word is used many times in Scripture for divide. It's used for the dividing of the Red Sea and other parts of crops being divided that we see. What is the idea here? The idea here is that these bears came in and brought great chaos. You could imagine these young people just trying to run for their lives. And it's a pretty much of a miracle that the bear would get 42 of them. I mean, bears are very strong. And they can be fast, but you think about 42 young people and teenagers that can run fast. Most teenagers I know can run fast, okay? They can get out of the way while others, but for whatever God's reason and judgment, he got the bears got to 42 of them. Now here's the question, did they die? We don't know. The scripture is not clear on that. It is my opinion that we don't know. They could have. Were there 42 funerals that day? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that they were hurt. They were seriously wounded. They were clawed and they were mauled. And God was sending a message. Get this. Do not mock me. Do not mock my work. Do not mock my servants. Do not mock my word. Do not mock my mission. God was sending a very serious message right then and there. And that, I believe, church, is the true account of what was taking place here. It was a very serious message, was it not? This message would go back to Bethel, to these parents of this judgment that just came across, and I'm sure it would spread. That God was declaring, I will not be mocked. You know, we live in a world that thinks that they can just blaspheme God and mock God, but I'm telling you, God will not be mocked. The Word of God declares it. God shall not be mocked. So what happens? I believe in this third point, you let God handle it. Now, there's a difference in the dispensation that Elisha was in and what we're in. Now, let me clarify a couple things here. If you have yourself or your family are in danger, I do believe that God has given you the liberty to protect your family. I believe God has given us the authority to do that. We can protect ourselves if we feel like we're in danger of someone killing us or taking our lives or our families. I believe we have that right. But I do believe that in the context of today, when it comes to evil, it is not for us to give curses upon evil. You know what it is? That changed when Jesus came. That changed when the cross was took place, when He died for our sins. That changed when the canon was complete. According to my Bible, now, what God tells us to do with evil, He says, hey, those that curse you, what does He say? Pray for them. He says, pray for them. In fact, look over there with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Would you go over there with me? Luke chapter 6. Look there in Luke chapter 6 with me if you have your Bibles. I want you to see this. If you get there before me, tell me where it's at. I'm looking for it. Okay, so getting there around verse 21. Okay, go over there and I believe it's right there at verse number 28. Chapter 6, verse 28. Look what Jesus tells His disciples. Bless them that what? Curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And he goes on to say there in verse 31, and as ye would have that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You see, when we are faced with evil today. Now again, if you're in the context of protecting your life is in danger, this is different. But just speaking of the evil of the world that we encounter every day, that you see in your workplace, that you see in your schools, the things that you see, you know what we need to do? When we're mocked for our faith, church, this is what we do. This is what we do. We do exactly what Jesus tells us to do. We bless them. We pray for them. God, have mercy on them. God, have mercy upon them. Those abortion doctors, yes, it just makes my stomach twist. But you know what? We don't need to ask God to curse them. We need to ask God to save them. Amen? Ask God to have mercy upon them. What about these extremists that I was trying to win to Jesus out in the desert? Do I go out there and curse them as a missionary? Say, cursed be you who are trying to kill me. That would be the opposite of what Jesus is teaching. He says, no, son, you go out there and you tell them about my love. You tell them about my hope and grace. You tell them about my peace. And you tell them that I'll save them if they turn to me. But if they don't, they will spend eternity in damnation. And trust me, son, trust me, I will not be mocked. That's why I believe Elisha let God handle it. And I don't know what way you're facing evil, have ever experienced evil, but what you need to do is expect it. But then what you need to do is you need to respond with the way Jesus was saying and saying, God, I'm going to let you handle this. I'm going to do my part. And in closing, look what Elisha does. Elisha goes there in verse number 25, after this event of judgment took place. Elisha went on. It says he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. I want you to know in closing, I think it's very important to note this idea of Mount Carmel. This is a picture of Mount Carmel there in Israel. Mount Carmel was a place where Elijah had resided many times. Elijah. And it was a place that he would reflect and a place that he would see the hand of God in his life. And we saw God do miracles. And I believe Elisha went to this place. And I believe he would go there and reflect upon the greatness of God. I believe he would go there for a time of rest. I believe he would go there for a time of reflection and regrouping because of what he just experienced. I believe that this represents that when we are mocked, and when we do face attacks, I believe God will give us that rest we need. He will help us to regroup. Listen, I may be talking to somebody right now that you feel like you are under the attack of evil. You feel like you're being suppressed, oppressed, and you feel like the world is coming down. I want to tell you, you trust God in this. Let Him handle this. And I'm telling you, get to a place like Mount Carmel and reflect upon the greatness of God and the goodness of God. Regroup and get back out there in the battle. I believe that's what we see here. We see a man that found the place of Mount Carmel, and thence he returned to Samaria for more ministry that we'll be learning about in the days ahead. Listen, what do we draw from the message? We understand that God is compassionate and loving and merciful. We see that all through scriptures. But one thing is crystal clear, church. God declares in His Word, He will not be mocked. Let's pray.